Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
As we continue to work our way through the amazing prophecies of Jesus' Olivet Discourse, Jesus' call for vigilance looms large. May the Spirit of God cause us to be tuned in to what the Lord is doing in these momentous times, and may He empower us to live our lives in a way that befits the perilous season in which we find ourselves. Please open your Bible to Mark chapter 13 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his message on verses 14 through 27.
Our last verse for this morning, at least from this chapter. And then shall he send his angels. Mark 8:38, Matthew 16:27 talks about Jesus coming back with his angels. Not only coming back with the army of those who are saved, coming back with his angels, and notice carefully, and shall gather together his elect. Who is the elect in context? The Jews. From the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Remarkable. It is prophesied that there will be a regathering of the Jewish people from every nation. They will be brought back to their ancient homeland. Deuteronomy 30 talks about this. Isaiah 11 talks about this. Jeremiah 31 talks about this. Ezekiel 31 and 36 talks about this. The Jewish people brought back to their ancient homeland. Now, unfortunately, there are some that confuse the gathering of the Jewish people from Babylonian captivity with what Jesus is saying here. When the Jews were brought back to their land, when they were in Babylonian captivity, they were gathered from one direction, just one place. This is worldwide. This is all over the world. God says, I'm going to gather together my people back to their ancient homeland. So that means what? They have to be back in their ancient homeland for him to come back. Now, in 70 AD, the army of Titus killed more than a million Jews. And the remaining Jews were dispersed among all nations, just like Jesus said here. And they wandered as a people without a homeland until May 14th, 1948, when Israel, against all odds, it's never happened again, became a nation. How many Hittites have you met lately? Against all odds. Because God said it was going to happen. He prophesied he was going to gather his people back to their ancient homeland. That was a miracle. The prophet Isaiah says, can a nation be born in one day? You fast forward the history of Israel. And in the Six-Day War of 1967, the Jews took back Jerusalem from Gentile control for the first time since 70 AD. The last time I was in Israel and went and visited the Temple Mount or the Temple Institute, you have gone there if you've been to Israel. They were first of all, they had shirts that they printed because there were nations that were giving America a hard time. And they had shirts. I wish I would have bought one. This is Israel saying, don't worry, America, we'll protect you. And then they had little replicas all over Israel, replicas of the third temple. They're there. You know why? God is faithful. God is faithful to do what he says he will do, and nothing can stop it. And it's not because they're so holy. They're pretty much secular. But God says, I'm going to draw them back to that ancient homeland. They had not been masters of Jerusalem since 606 BC when Nebuchadnezzar conquered it. And the Romans banned them from living there from 135 AD. It's a miracle. Paul in Romans chapter 11 states that there is a glorious future in store for the nation of Israel. Romans 11, verses 25 through 27. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, that is, it is written. And he quotes from the Old Testament prophets. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I will take away their sins. In other words, Paul, writing to the church, is warning them. Take this soberly. Be careful how you speak about the Jewish people. Don't you dare claim that you replace them. Don't be ignorant of this mystery. God's purpose in allowing blindness in part to come upon Israel is for you and I, Gentiles, to be grafted in. We're grafted in. They're the natural branch. We're the wild bunch. Look at us. We're the crazy ones. We're grafted in. We don't bear the root. The root bears us. The word until refers to a specific time. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Fullness speaks of completion. Completion of what? Well, between Daniel's 69th and 70th week, Paul was given a revelation of a mystery body. The church, Jew, Gentile, in Yeshua. And when that last Gentile bows the knee to Jesus Christ, we're out of here. And if it's you today, get with the program, please. Get with the program. And when the church is removed, the 70th week of Daniel begins. The church had no part in the first 69 weeks. We have no part in the 70th week. I challenge you, read all of the Old Testament prophecies regarding the second coming of Jesus Christ. You will not find any reference to the church. You'll find every nation pitted against Israel. We are gone. Now, will there be people saved during the tribulation? Oh, yeah, a whole lot of people are going to be saved. God's going to anoint 144,000 radical Jews to share the gospel during the tribulation period. One day, the Jews are going to realize their blindness and their folly. They're going to receive Christ as Messiah and Lord. And there's going to be a glorious restoration. Pretty exciting, huh?
Yeah.
That's far more exciting than reading about COVID or even our election. Now, this is really exciting. How many of you think this is really exciting? When God says, I'm going to keep you, he means it. He's a faithful God. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He keeps his promises. He's the only one who can always keep his promises. I don't, you don't, we don't, he does. So things are cooking. Things are lining up. Things are headed towards Christ's return. If you read the book of Daniel, chapter 2, chapter 7, God has his hand on every political leader on this planet. He turns their hearts wherever he wills. You see, with all of the things that you and I are concerned about or worried about, know this. God is in control. God's in control. And it doesn't matter who's in the White House. God's in control. Well, I just lost about half of you, didn't I? That's not a prophecy. I'm just saying God's in control of everything. He's the Lord God Almighty who rules and reigns. And saints, this world is ripe for two things. One, for someone to come on the scene, who says, I've got all the answers. I know how to fix your economy. I know how to deal with this COVID. I'm the answer man. He's the Antichrist. He's coming. And the stage is being set for him to be put into place. He could very well be alive and well on planet Earth today. I'm not saying he is, but he could be. That's going on. But while that is going on, there are people that are coming to saving faith in Jesus Christ. We're not seeing a revival in America. You realize that? You know what's happening in America? There's a lot of shifting of the weight from one room to another. Well, I don't like this church, so I'm going to go over there. And so, our church has grown. We're now 2,000. Well, how many of those 2,000 began with you? Oh, no, 300 are from this church. And there's a lot of shifting of people from one room to another. But did you know that in other parts of the world, people are coming to Jesus Christ in droves? And did you know that people from other parts of the world are sending missionaries to America? Because we've lost our way. We've gotten our eyes off of Jesus. And we're preaching our own little club. You would think that the gospel was repent ye and become a Baptist. Or repent ye and become a Calvinist. Or we are to be people, sinners who repent and follow Jesus Christ. Jesus is not for sale. He didn't come to start a fan club. He is looking for followers who can see through all of the smoke that is going on right now. Jesus says when he comes back the second time, did I say that I had the last verse? Yeah, I forgot page 10. We're almost done. Jesus said that when he prior to him coming back the second time, it would be like the days of Noah. It would be like the days of Lot. It would be like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. My, oh my. He said, it's going to be just like that. People are going to hear the gospel. They're going to drive by. They're going to cycle by. They're going to say, oh, they're going to, ignore you all. Yeah. Christians have been saying for 2,000 years, Jesus is coming again. He hasn't come again. They're going to be carrying on with business as usual. Even though Jesus said 2,000 years ago, and Jesus is saying today, the storm clouds are gathering, and I am coming soon. Amen. Are you ready to stand before a holy God? During the days of Noah, population growth was significant. Lawlessness was on the increase. The earth was given over to violence. In Lot's day, the unnatural lusts of Sodom and Gomorrah were so abhorrent to God that he completely destroyed the cities. Only Lot, two of his daughters, and his wife were saved from the terrible judgment. Connect some dots here as we close. Israel's back in the land. They're back there. Who done it? God did it. He regathered them. We see false Christ, false prophets. We see immorality abounding like never before. We're seeing the days where people are calling good evil and evil good. It's amazing. You can't get arrested for some of the things that are going on in our nation, but you pray outside of an abortion clinic and they'll lock you up. Anybody can say anything that they want against Jesus Christ and the church and get away with it. We're living in very, very perilous times, but we are living in very, very exciting times as well. While Jesus is teaching all of this, because he taught this Olivet Discourse, why? So that we would be able to see what is happening on planet Earth. But in the midst of all of this teaching, Jesus was doing healings, physical healings. I wonder how many of you today would say, you know, Pastor Ray, I would like to be anointed with oil today by the elders of the church. How many of you would say that? Okay, we got a couple. All right? There's going to be some men, pastors, elders, deacons. Guys, come over here. We want to pray for you today. We're going to have church, like Jesus had church outside. Okay, but Jesus also, he not only says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, which he did say that. He also said this. One of the things that I absolutely love about Jesus, one of the gazillion things that I love about Jesus, is that he made it very, very clear about what it meant to follow him. He multiplies the loaves and fishes. He heals a blind man. And then he calls the disciples and he says this, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny self. We're told today, exalt self. The very core of the gospel is to believe in Christ and deny self and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. In other words, guys, we've been bought with a price. We have been redeemed by God through Jesus Christ. And our lives are to be completely, completely devoted and surrendered to him. Lose his life for my sake and the gospel's. For what does it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You could be the most wealthy man on the planet. I heard the head of Amazon made $1 billion one day. That can't buy him if he is not a born-again follower of Jesus Christ, trusting in Christ for his salvation. That can't buy him salvation. He's not going to step into glory and say, here's $1 billion. Let me in. What shall it profit a man if they gain the whole world and lose their own soul? Esau forfeited his soul for a dish of stew. Jesus is calling for a commitment. Not just raise your hand, say a prayer. I am yours, Lord. I believe in you. I trust you. I'm all yours. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. That's powerful words. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words. Guys, you know this. The preaching of the cross, the preaching of the word of God is offensive to this counterculture generation that we're living in. It's offensive. It's offensive. But Jesus says, don't be ashamed of me. You know, guys, in closing, if we can't get a grip on the little things that we bicker about in this day and age, what are we going to do when the hammer drops, when your job is on the line, when your life is on the line? What are we going to do? We don't have the right to change what the word of God says. We have to say what God says and let the chips fall where they may. That's not angry. That's not hate speech. That's love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We have a mission, don't we, saints? We have a mission. You have a mission. I wonder how many of you are here today or maybe watching online that have never really seriously given yourself to Christ. You've never been born of the Spirit of God. You know, Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. You know, it is very possible for you and I in 2,000 years of Christendom with all of the material that we have that we every one of us here today now can learn how to speak fluent Christianese. Can't we? And you can have a lot of stuff going on the outside, but what is going on the inside? That's where it counts. That's the issue. And Jesus today, I believe, is calling some. Maybe some to go and pray with these men and say, you know what? And I've been guilty of it. There is no fence for you and I to be on. You're either all in or you're all out. Jesus says, love not the world, neither the things that are in this world. They're going to pass away. Now, thank God we have homes, we have food, we're blessed. But we're not consumed with this world. We are to be about our Father's business. If you're here today, and maybe you're saying, you know, I really got to get a handle on some things in my life that are not lining up with my profession of faith in Christ. Those men will be over there to pray with you. This isn't a guilt trip, guys. No. Jesus drew the line in the sand, didn't he? He did. This is the Jesus that said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. He wants all of you. He wants all of me. Guys, I really believe with all of my heart that Jesus told us that there would be a separation of the wheat and the tares and the sheep and the goats. We know that's ultimate. That's beginning to happen now. Not that there's ever been a time to be half-hearted, but we are living in very perilous times. Perhaps today you would want life prayer for God to touch you and anoint you with the power of His Holy Spirit afresh. And if that's you, these men will be over there to pray with you. I see people going over for prayer already. Praise God for that. You know, when Jesus called people, it was publicly, didn't he? Imagine 4,000, 5,000 people. He says, come after me. And I, probably just because it's human nature, like you and me, they're probably looking around and going, what if they see me? Well, I'll tell you what. Nobody's going to be, none of these people here, other than your family possibly, are going to be with you when you're breathing your last breath. It's going to be you and Jesus. The Bible, through the prophet Amos, says, prepare to meet thy God. Lord, your Spirit, who knows us best, we just come to you today, and we thank you that you have laid out such a clear scenario for the end times. And we are here living in the year 2020, at least the way we have our calendar. We see things happening that would seem to indicate that we're ripe for judgment. We're ripe for deception. I pray, Father, for those that are coming for prayer, that you would just honor their faith in you. As many as touch the hem of your garment were made whole. Lord, be glorified here today. Be magnified here today. And I pray that as we worship you, you would be exalted in this place. That there would be angels rejoicing in heaven right now. And for those watching online, Lord God, that are looking to you for that special touch. I think of Samson, who had compromised, and his blindness put him in a place where he was in the Philistines' camp, and he cried. His covenant relationship with you was restored, and he told the young man as he put his hand on one pillar and left, says, Lord, just touch me one more time. Lord, give us that touch today. Give us that touch today, that we would be men and women devoted to you, loving you, serving you about your business. We ask this in Jesus' name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless His holy, His wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Sela, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study His Word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can also subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our regular services. Nursery and youth activities will be available. Please check our website for last-minute changes or cancellations due to weather or other causes. Our address is 500 Main Street in East Rochester, New York. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.